You ever notice how negotiating project deadlines is somehow easier than getting a refund from customer service, or staying calm in a project crisis actually prepares you to wait in line, maybe at your favorite restaurant? Trust me, I know you find it funny because I did too, but just think about it. How project management skills really can pay off in your personal life. You know, family, I thought about this today as I came across this topic, and I always talk about how this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, is a transferable skill. But what I don't go into too much detail about, which I plan to do today, is talk about how you're doing project management, and sometimes we don't realize it. But I want to talk about, if you do fall in love with this thing called project management, how it can transfer into your personal life. And some of these things that we're going to discuss here are things that I do, and some of the things that I'm still a work in progress. Point number one, this is my favorite, family. And the reason why this is my favorite is because when I made the decision to become a project manager, over time, this skill set has continually to grow for me. And that is called negotiating skills. So, improving negotiation skills, project managers are required to negotiate on resources, timelines, sometimes even locations. And when I say location, meaning I've been in a situation where we were co-located in so many words, where I had a project team and myself, and we were all in this one area, and we had to negotiate because they wanted to bring some other people into this area. We had to negotiate for us to be able to stay. So I had to write up this big write-up and do a whole pitch and all this whole thing. But it really helped me understand the power of negotiating. So when you get into project management, you're going to have to negotiate a lot for resources. When someone tells you, when a project team member says, "Oh, it's going to take me 2 weeks," and really it's going to take them 2 hours to finish, and how do you negotiate that without making them look bad? So it has really allowed me to hone my ability to achieve a mutual benefit outcome. That's what negotiation was truly about. So next time, here's my actionable tip. Next time you are buying a car, or hey, even negotiating on food, find a way to see if you can negotiate a different price than what they were offering. My mom would always say, a closed mouth don't get fed. By doing that, you set yourself up for success, not just even in project management, but in your personal life. There's been a lot of times that I've been in places and I said, "Hey, do you guys offer discounts?" And then they'd be like, "What?" Like, yeah, I mean, there, and then they'll say, "Nobody really, because you have the courage to ask, we're going to give you 10% off." Now, that may only took care of the tax, but that's 10% less than I have to pay. Being serious, though, on serious things, on a serious note, family, it's important to really leverage your skill set, especially in your project management career. But, having that ability to hone in your personal life is going to make you a better project manager. Point number two, staying calm under pressure. Listen, handling project crises has taught me to manage stress and make rational decisions, even in personal emergencies. One of the things that it has helped me with, as far as when I say it has helped me, project management has helped me where there's just nothing but chaos going on, nothing but disarray. And normally, as project managers, we're taught to really, get all the crises together and put everything into this circle and don't let them get out. But that is not the right way to handle crisis on a project. You need to let all of it go crazy and go wild before you start, bringing people in. Because if you bring people in, everything that you guys, all of that they're frustrated about is going to eat up the meeting, or is going to eat up the project, or even more or less, is going to break the morale of the team. So allowing people, your project team, and creating a trend. First of all, we have to create a space that's safe for them to have when we do have a crisis, to be able to articulate how they're feeling. And once that gets out, then we can move on. But in my personal life, seeing this helped me handle emergencies that may come up, it allowed me to pause for a moment and then think. Most of the time we're just going right into the situation, the emergency before, just taking a brief pause. Okay, what is this going about? Oh, and also, just to add even more to this, family, it's also taught me to get away from stand, you know, this is why you always see everything that I share with you. I'm sorry for rambling, but I get excited sometimes, family. So just bear with me. You know, the reason why that I always stress to look at the problem, but pour your energy into the solution is because I used to be one of those individuals that would just get so caught up in a problem and talk about how this is not right, how this is not. And by the time I look up and we got a 30-minute or hour-long meeting, we don't spend the majority of this time. And this was through my younger project manager days. And I was, it has to be a better way. So this is why I'm always sharing with you. Yep, this problem happened. How are we going to resolve it? How are we going to mitigate this? So this has taught me one of those opportunities to stay calm under pressure. Point number three, this is something that has taught me really well. Effective time management. You know, managing project schedules has taught me the ability to prioritize and allocate time wisely, whether it's a resource of people, a resource of equipment, whatever the resource may be, it has taught me to allocate time wisely. I use a skill to even juggle my personal and family responsibilities seamlessly. You know, this is why it's important, family, when I tell you to, hey, if you are working on something, put your phone in focus, or do not disturb, so you can knock that out and take care of what you need to take care of and then go back and handle it, whether it's a call, a text message. Because what tends to happen is, and this is what I had to learn, is that if we don't have effective time management as a project manager, you'll get caught up in, all right, well, I'll answer this and then I'll come back and handle the rest because I'm in the middle of something. But what tends to happen is when you answer that, then another response comes and it's like, now I got to ask. And then you get into this whirlwind and you don't even complete what you need to do. So here's my actionable tip. One of the things that I do, still do to this day, is I use time blocking techniques, meaning block off my calendar. I even do it personally when I am in a meeting, my phone is in do not disturb. When I am working on something, my phone is do not disturb. And my friends know that. So if they call me, or even family, they call me, they know, oh, he must be working on something. I'll just text him something, or he's seen that our call. He'll just give me a call back when he gets free. See, you have to have true friendship. And just like in project management, you have to set that tone with your team. If they're trying to reach you and they can't reach you, you have to let them know why. But if you know how we talk here, we have to set the expectation of saying, hey, between this time and this time, my calendar will be blocked. Is there something you're going to need before I go into my session? Because I got to get all these artifacts up to date. I got to send out and respond to emails. I want to use this block of time to make sure that I can do this. Is there anything you need from me, team, before we do that? And most of the time they'll say, hey, you know, we can wait because it's not that urgency. Everybody claims that there's a sense of urgency, but it's not a sense of urgency. Nothing like that. There's bigger things out there that we need to. Point number four, decisive problem solving. You know, one of the things in being a project manager and then carrying in my personal life, it has allowed me to make swift, informed decisions and then also look at ways to solve the problem efficiently instead of, well, you know, I don't have enough information to make this decision. No. Okay. I got about 70-80%. All right, let's make this decision. And whatever comes out of this, then we just need to pivot or figure out what the next move is. But I'm going to learn faster from the decision that I made compared to somebody that continues to plan and plan and plan and do not execute. Here's my actionable tip. When faced with a problem, quickly gather the necessary information, weigh your options, and then make a confident decision to avoid any unnecessary delays. Point number five, leading conversations with purpose. When you become a project manager, if you're not one, one of the things you're going to notice when you're facilitating meetings is you want meaningful meeting, or I should say meaningful, purposeful meetings. And the reason why you want this is because a lot of people don't like going to meetings. And for just to have another meeting about the thing we just got done discussing, you need to be able to lead conversations with purpose. So for me, how this has impacted me a lot is that I set clear intentions. Hey, we're on this call. This is what the purpose of this call is. This is what we're going to discuss. Anything outside of that is great, but this is what we are here for. This is what I call this meeting for, and let's get it knocked out. Here's my actionable tip. Set a clear agenda for any conversation, even informal ones, and steer the discussion back on track if it veers off topic to keep things productive. That's one of the things as a project manager, you're always going to be that person that when the conversation in the meeting gets off track, to be able to veer it back to what we're here for. What is the discussion for? If this is not something that's going to be fruitful for our project, hey, you know what? I got something I need to work on, but I'll be free in the next hour or two. If you just want to talk, then that's different. But if we're here for a meeting, we scheduled this meeting, we need to get some actionable items out of here so we can go, so whoever needs to execute can execute effectively. Point number six, practicing empathetic listening. As a project manager, you're going to have to be empathetic. Why? Well, because you're going to have people that are going to be frustrated with another project team member, or they're going to be maybe even frustrated with you. And you're going to have to be able to practice active listening with your project team, so their concerns are made and when they're giving their concerns, and that there's a clear understanding that you understand where they're coming from. You may not agree with them, but you understand where they're coming from, and you may not even be able to fix what their particular issues from. But again, active listening. Here's my actionable tip. Practice active listening by giving the person your full attention. Don't be in your phone. Don't start working on IMs or emails. Okay, maybe I'm talking about myself. These are the things I used to do. But I realize when you give somebody your 110% or just give them your full attention, what tends to happen is, and then this is my secret weapon of being able to summarize what they've said to you, it makes somebody feel valued. Just imagine if you're sitting there, you and I are having a conversation, and after you finished, I said, and I paraphrased, I said, let me just make sure I understood what you were saying so we're on the same page. And I paraphrased basically what you just kind of walked me through. You would feel more confident that at least I took the time to understand. First of all, listen to you. And then I understood what I listened to because of the fact that I regurgitated the information back to you so we're both aligned. So if there's something that I didn't say or that wasn't point of my summarizing points, then you can course correct me and say, well, no, this is what I meant by that. So it's important, family, to practice active listening. Point number seven, learning the value of saying no. You know, one of the things in project management, you will consistently be pulled in different directions if you don't have the ability to say no professionally and say it confidently. Because if you say, well, you know, I don't know if I'll be able, instead of just say, hey, you know what? No, I won't be able to do it. Declining requests tactfully and respectfully in project settings translate into being more confident in setting limits in your personal situations, as well as it protects your time and well-being. You know, here's an actionable tip. One of the things I like to do is say, hey, you know, I can't commit to that right now, or this month, one of my favorite, I would love to help, but I need to prioritize whatever the thing I need to do. Is there a time that you are looking to get this done? But I'm still showing that I'm willing to work with them. But I'm also saying, hey, this thing that I'm working on over here is going to take a priority from what you need from me right now. So if it's something that is a priority, then hey, I can fit it in here. Is this going to work for you? So I'm still giving them a way out. Point number eight, continuous self-improvement. You know, this is one of the things in project management when you're always having to find ways to get better, because there's new things, new softwares that's coming out, but the people, you're dealing with different people, different attitudes, different motivations. As a project manager, you have to always continue finding ways to get better yourself, by understanding leadership, by understanding management, by understanding persuasion, understanding sales. Like, a lot of people think because I work in IT as a project manager, I don't need to know how to be in sales. I don't need to know how to write a compelling email that it looks like a marketing campaign. Yes, you do. And the reason why I say that is because just imagine you're trying to get to someone that is getting already probably receiving a bunch of emails. How does your email stand out? What makes them stop and want to read it and then take action? So one of the things I recommend as an actionable tip, schedule time each month to review your personal goals and assess your progress. Adjust your approach based on what is actually working and what needs improvement. Just be honest with yourself, because this is how you grow. A lot of times we'll make these fake where I need improvement, but we really know you need to make improvement over here, but it's going to cost you more work. It's going to make you feel uncomfortable. So we kind of put that to the side. But in life and in general, when it comes to project management, as well as your personal life, you want to be continually finding ways to improve and get better. At least I love what the guy that wrote The Atomic Habit and James Clear, where he talks about getting 1% better. So that's my goal. I said, I'm going to at least work on getting 1% better. It's not, oh, I'm going to get 1,000% better tomorrow. You're going to see a brand new. No, this is, I'm playing the long game. I'm playing the lifetime game, as they'll say, is if I can do a 1% better each day, at least I'm doing more than somebody that's given up on even working on themselves. Here's my bonus for you today, family. The art of persuasion. Remember, I talked about that in your communication. Now, I know that sounds a little scary of using the word persuasion. It sounds evil, but it's in life, persuasion, when it comes to your communication to influence stakeholders, because you gotta remember, as a project manager, you don't have direct reports a majority of the time. So how do I influence and inspire someone that does not report into me to get a particular item done on the day they said they were going to do it and report that information to me, report that information back to me so I can go report to the executive? So I'm calling it a persuasion communication test. And you have to do different things. You may send them a reminder. And these are what I'm referencing as persuasion. You may have to send them a reminder 2 days before it's due, and then the day before it's due, and then the day of, and you're like, man, that's a lot of work. Yeah, but you need something from them. They don't need something from you. So always finding ways to exhibit new ways of doing things. So here's my actionable tip. When trying to persuade someone, frame your argument by highlighting how it benefits them personally and use clear and compelling evidence to make your case. Here's my three transformational remarks, family, and I'll let you be on your way. Point number one, improve negotiation skills. Like I said, when I became a project manager, over time, I've noticed and watched how my negotiation skills have continually to grow. They've gotten better because I'm doing it day in and day out at work, which ends up translating into my real, and I don't know why I keep saying real life, my personal life, in a sense of allowing me to grow because I'm having time to practice this negotiation skill. Point number two, problem solving, decisive problem solving at that. You know, you have to, as a project manager, you're up against so many different problems, and being able to translate that into your personal life really makes you have more impact personally, as well as in your career. Because like I said, there's going to be things that are going to be thrown at you at the last minute. And how are you going to pivot? How are you going to respond? Which leads me to my last and final point is staying calm under pressure. I used to get frantic. I used to get frustrated when crisis would happen. And I'm not saying that I'm 100%, I should say, cured, but I'm so much further than how I used to be. So when chaos would happen, I would just be like, I can't believe this, and I'll focus all on the problem. And then by the time I burn myself out by doing that, then I didn't even touch on the solution. So I realized that, hey, this is the problem. Let me go work on the solution. Hey, do I get it right every time? No, but what I'm willing to do is continually to get better and continually grow and evolve as a project manager. Well, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. This is really about how, when you make that transition into project management, if you're not a project manager already, if you're already a project manager, knowing how what you've learned through your project management career, how that has helped you personally. And I have to admit, it has helped me tremendously in growth, and having a growth mindset, meaning that, hey, I know this situation happened. How am I going to respond? Like I talked about negotiating, I talked about being calm in crisis. And it's just so many of these different things that continue to help you grow as an individual. So family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. For you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means and. Until next time.